Welcome back, folks. We've got John LeMay in for episode 2 of Plot Pit, and we've got some interesting articles to go. Roll the intro. Welcome to Plot Pit, the show where we'll take almost anything and uncover a story within for you to use in your own tale-telling mediums of choice. From novels, novelettes, short stories, poems, songs, scripts, for screen and stage, honestly, it doesn't matter. We'll spec something and you might use it. I'm your host, William Atkinson, here in the pit with local author John LeMay. Okay, so an advertisement out of Philadelphia, words of wisdom for young men on the ruling passion in youth and early manhood, with self-help for the erring and unfortunate. So basically, you write Box P, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and you get a envelope in return with words of wisdom from the Howard Association.
Sounds mysterious.
Yeah,
already.
Just a little bit, right? So what would you find in said envelope on the return? Okay, so moving forward out of the Santa Fe Gazette, 1869, we have A Catastrophe in the Mines, Details of a Pennsylvania Horror. So effectively what we have here is a mine that collapses. That just sounds scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, recently we actually had something like that, about 10 years ago? They made a movie out of it, The Miners down in Central or South America.
Mm-hmm. And that happens fairly often, too, in South America, miners getting trapped.
Yeah. So my mind instantly goes to the Mines of Moria. Out of the Lord of the Rings stuff. And then we have another one here, Clairvoyant out of San Francisco. Again, Santa Fe Gazette, 1869, seeing a pattern here. A clairvoyant talking about an earthquake coming, a big one. And I find it kind of interesting that she happens to predict this thing not more than 37 years before the 1906 San Francisco earthquake, which basically leveled the city. So, all right, we have a clairvoyant in San Francisco on the West Coast predicting about the big one. Sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
We have a collapsed mine in Pennsylvania. And we have this mysterious words of wisdom mail order box.
Yeah, and just to reiterate for people listening, everything William just listed is all real. They're all real articles, but we're going to connect them in a way that makes them unreal. We're going to make a fictitious story out of them. So, you know, it's all real stuff.
Yes. So the Library of Congress, Chronicling America, Santa Fe Gazette, the Santa Fe Weekly Gazette, September 25th, 1869. These are the sources, or the source for today's episode. There are four pages that I have perused, and there's a lot of other stuff in these four pages that you could jump off of. But let's just pick something. Where would we go?
Well, I mean, you know me, I like to draw parallels. I'm sure you do too. You know, the first place my mind goes is, okay, you've got the mine disaster, and then you've got the clairvoyant predicting the earthquake. So I say that the mine disaster was a prelude to the earthquake somehow. It was just a taste of things to come, and that's why the mine collapsed. And, you know, it's like a hint for the audience that the big earthquake is coming.
You know, we could go with a sci-fi type thing. We do know that the gravitational pull of the moon interacting with the tidal forces and everything on the planet at times of an eclipse, specifically earthquakes have a higher probability of occurring.
Oh, interesting.
And so we could be in a situation where forces that are playing that cause the mine to collapse is setting off the proverbial butterfly flapping its wings on one side of the planet and causing chaos by the time it gets to the other.
Yeah, I like that.
So, our clairvoyant in San Francisco, who is she?
Well, I don't know. She could be tied to the letters that people are writing, but because to me, the mine and the earthquake are easy to connect, but connecting that self-help ad or whatever it was, that's the tough one.
So, my head goes to kind of a, you know, obviously somebody who's intrigued by this Howard Association's appeal for self-help, okay? 1869, you like Billy the Kid.
Mm-hmm.
This is out of Santa Fe. We could go down a young desperado type individual who's gonna, I almost said email, this Howard Association out of Pennsylvania. So writes this letter. And then in the response, we have a letter that is written in the cowboy's own hand and has something like bring ammo.
Yeah.
And has a set of blueprints for some crazy concocted machine.
Yeah.
So kind of a time travel cowboy meets aliens thing.
Now, that's funny you bring that up because I was watching the 1999 film adaptation of Wild Wild West, which is also set specifically in 1869. And, you know, they made use of the lingering Civil War tensions.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, maybe that could be the bad guys, you know, and it could be, you know, the lingering Civil War Confederate side that lost wanting to maybe start a second Civil War or something like that. So that's kind of where my mind ties in with yours about the desperados and the cowboys. Maybe they're Southern sympathizers and that this mail chain thing is like a secret way of communicating in code, maybe, too. And
okay. All right. So we have a box to propagate political propaganda through this means of self-help on the surface as being an advertisement thing. So whoever the Howard Association has set up has a means to screen. They know who is supposed to get like legit letters versus the fluff letters. And it happens to be in the same state as the mine, which collapses. Mm. So what you could have is the bad guys who are trying to reignite the Civil War, if we're going to stay in a more realistic realm, then they are planning some form of subterfuge or secret invasion from the collapsed mine.
Oh, I love it. That's great. Okay.
And you've got this clairvoyant in San Francisco, and what would we do? How would she tie in?
Like she's either complicit in the activities of this evil group, or she's being held hostage by them, and she's good, but she's being forced to help them.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. So let's say she's a legit clairvoyant. She's able to predict this stuff. So because she's predicting earthquakes, she has, say, intimate knowledge of the tidal forces underneath the continents and figuring out how all of this is going to play out, where things are going to occur. So maybe she knows or has visions into where the tunnels are. So they are holding her hostage for the information that she has related to the Appalachians mountain tunnels that the new Confederacy is trying to exploit in order to take over Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I love it. And then, like, that's her way. The way it leaked to the press is her way of trying to warn people of their plot.
So nobody's going to believe that San Francisco is about to get hit with this massive quake. Yeah. And so she's trying to raise alarm bells without actually being obvious to her captors.
And just so in that original article, did we say where she predicted the earthquake would hit?
Let's look. An earthquake is coming. A California savant predicts a heavy shaking up of things in September or October. The San Francisco Chronicle publishes the following prediction made by a local philosopher, W. Stewart. So here, during the past 18 months, the Earth and other planets completed the most remarkable conjunction which has ever occurred. I predict a heavy earthquake to take place early next autumn.
So that's interesting. They talked about the planets aligning. That's always a magical whatever you want for sci-fi, so that's very useful when you're making up a story.
Absolutely. So if we were to take this into the sci-fi realm, and still want to play around with this cowboys, aliens, and Confederacy thing, with the reigniting of the Civil War, we could do what a lot of authors have already tried to do with the Nazis, and tie aliens, or, you know, the malevolent aliens, trying to damage global populations for whatever reasons, and they're throwing their weight behind the Confederacy.
Yeah.
The lining of the planets is how they are able to get from whatever galaxy or planet that they're from.
So this is what I love as we develop these things. So I have one of my alien books with me that I wrote with Noe Torres, and we did one that has a chapter on the abandoned Confederate Air Force, because the Confederates did have plans for some airships and things like that that never got off the ground, no pun intended. So that's, I mean, there were plans for a Confederate Air Force, you know, that maybe you could play with and work in there as well. I've got the guy's name here. So, you know, I mean, the idea of a Confederate Air Force isn't that far out because they actually did build and utilize a submarine during the Civil War called the H.L. Hunley, which, you know, seems kind of far out for the 1860s. But they also had a guy just identified as a Dr. Hunt of Richmond, Virginia, who proposed a, quote, steam flying machine, end quote, to the Confederate Army. So he sent these plans to the Confederate President Jefferson Davis, who thought enough of them, he actually forwarded them to General Robert E. Lee. And, you know, the general had a little bit of experience in engineering, so he sent him off to a guy named Colonel Jeremy F. Gilmer, Chief Engineer Bureau for the Confederacy. And I guess Gilmer just in real life didn't have any faith in these airships plans and kind of let them die. But I mean, there's enough truth there, you know, for another quote unquote real aspect to the story of this Confederate Air Force as well.
Fair enough. Now, it sounds kind of steampunkish.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So you could take this into a steampunky type post-apocalyptic world, right?
Yeah.
Where you have different warring factions having some form of extraterrestrial interference. I think even Star Trek did one of these type of episodes mm-hmm. back in the original series where you had the Klingons were on one side of this warring tribe ecosystem or whatever, and the Federation on the other, and it was like the proxy war going on. So we could have that sort of storyline.
Mm-hmm.
What would the alien objective be?
You know, the aliens are always the same. They want to conquer Earth. And where my mind goes is to tie it into slavery. They think, okay, the Confederates will go for slavery. And then the Confederates retake the United States and they, you know, have their slavery continent once again. And the aliens themselves find it easier to have slaves as well, perhaps, and make all of humanity a slave race.
So then you've got the age-old twist of, you know, you're helping your captors subvert your own freedoms type scenario.
Now, something I want to put out there before it evaporates from my brain. You know, you talk about the Howard group. So here's something else cool. Jesse James, you know, was a Confederate, and his favorite alias to use was Mr. Howard.
Okay.
And Jesse James was allegedly part of Knights of the Golden Circle, who was a group that wanted to start a second Civil War and retake the United States, and, you know, the South shall rise again and all that. So you could say that maybe Jesse James is the main villain.
Ooh. That could be a lot of fun.
I mean, still working with the aliens if you want, but it's just, you know, Mr. Howard and the Civil War thing, you know, you got to use it.
Or we could just blanket it with the Jesse James mythos.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Right. But that is an interesting connection, the Howard Association, Mr. Howard, Jesse James, and it certainly does fit with the old Cowboy West gunslinger yep. aspect to this coming out of a Santa Fe Gazette newspaper.
Yeah.
Now, let's move back over to San Francisco and rejoin our savant. You've got this clairvoyant who's being forced to work with these Confederates in order to retake the United States, or the South shall rise again and mm-hmm. all of that, who are also working with extraterrestrial intervention.
And that's where the planets lining up comes in somehow as well.
And she is able to tap into the collective conscience of the aliens. So somehow they're kind of like the Borg.
But, sure.
Not like Borg from a mechanical or robotic standpoint, I'm thinking, but they communicate telepathically, mm-hmm. which is common in that mythos.
Yeah.
And she is able to tap into that and has this knowledge of all of these interwoven and underground tunnels and everything through the Appalachian Mountains.
Okay, see, and then you said underground tunnels. Now, this takes us to an article from the 1930s. Doesn't necessarily mean the 1930s has to have anything to do with this story, but in the 1930s, they allegedly discovered the quote-unquote City of the Lizard People underneath Los Angeles. They discovered the tunnel system, like you just said, that supposedly belonged to, again, they called them the lizard people. And therefore, some people tie this in with the reptilians. So, I mean, that city was ancient. It's just the article itself, you know, is from the 1930s. But that city, you know, was thought to have been from ancient times and was just under Los Angeles. So, I mean, you know, maybe that was one of the initial bases of the reptilian aliens that play into this story. And
okay. So we could have a tunneling situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So they started with the mine in Pennsylvania. And over the course of the 60 years to go from 1869 to 1930, or thereabouts, maybe 70 years, they tunneled across America.
Now, if we're being totally factual and honest, the lizard people, it's actually thought were a tribe of like Native Americans that went by that name. But it's just today, people are like, oh, the lizard people, well, it has to be reptilians. And, you know, they kind of conflate the two things. Really, it was probably just normal Native American people with that tribal name of the lizard people. But it's, you know, it's irresistible not to use the reptilians.
Well, of course, especially with the modern take on, wouldn't even say modern, you know, 1947 Roswell, right? With the alien mythos and everything, yeah. Ancient aliens certainly got that. Already, especially with the fact that there are plenty of legends coming out of the Arizona and Nevada area with the giants.
So maybe this underground lizard people city in Los Angeles is where the evil South will detonate the bombs that cause the earthquake or whatever, you know.
We have this savant or this clairvoyant mm-hmm. who has all of this intimate knowledge of the tectonic plates of the earth and how the gravitational forces are playing. We could have a situation where they are legitimately trying to geologically separate the United States along its fault lines.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea.
So the Southerners, okay, or the Confederates are trying to plant enormous stashes of dynamite along the fault lines going up and down the West Coast. There's where the savant is trying to say, hey, there's an earthquake coming. And then also we've got the fault line that goes, what, through Philadelphia coming down the river?
I'm not real wise to that stuff, but you sound like you know what you're talking about, though, so I'll buy it.
But I think there's a fault line that goes from Texas kind of up the Midwest along the Mississippi, I think. And it somewhere it ends up in Philadelphia, I think. Now, I could be wrong. I'll have to go check a map. Regardless, I mean, you could imagine that there's a fault line running through the center part of the United States. And if there was enough, or at least they think, if there was enough explosionary forces on those fault lines. Is explosionary a word?
It could be, could if it's be. Not.
Yeah. We'll call Webster's.
Or explodable. I like explodable. That one as well.
All right. So if you stuff enough dynamite down a crack, you're going to separate the crack.
Yeah.
That would be what? The physical manifestation of the political divide at that time of the country.
Yeah. And that's great when you can work that into your stories that the thread or the whatever is like symbolic of the underlying themes of division and
So we've got Jesse James coming out of the Civil War. There's a lot of unfortunate animosity where you end up with a rather malevolent force politically trying to reignite the old conflict. And they have somehow tapped into the extraterrestrial intentions. So where do the aliens come into play here in the sense of how does... you know, the South meet them.
That's true. How did they meet? You know, like I said, the only thing I'm really tied to with the aliens is that underground lizard city. Otherwise, you could almost do away with the aliens and still have a pretty solid story. I would guess the aliens, it's just like how we were talking with the Nazis. They knew the aliens knew the Confederates had evil intent and, you know, they wanted to enslave humankind. So they had a common goal there. And why the aliens have to use the Confederates is there's not very many aliens. They don't have much manpower. They just have technology.
So what we could have is they're not necessarily aliens from extraterrestrial, but they're a leftover species of humanoids from ice ages untold past that in the collapsed mine, these Confederates were digging. They dug too deep.
Cool, I like that.
They hatched an egg, not realizing what it was.
I love it.
And the egg happened to be a cryo chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so kind of like a, not a time capsule, or, well, maybe a time capsule, but, and from there, they end up, you know, talking or whatever. These reptilians didn't realize that the earth was no longer cold on the surface.
Well, that's great. So that's really great, because the South, you know, this is a cryptid distinctive of the South, cryptid being a mystery creature or animal. They have lizard man in the South, and mainly in, I think, Bishopville, North Carolina, South Carolina, I forget which one, but they had the sighting of lizard man back in 1987, kind of a big deal. But they theorized that lizard man was possibly a dinosaur that survived extinction and had evolved into a humanoid shape and was like a humanoid dinosaur lizard man. You know, you were touching on that. Maybe they are, you know, these dinosaurs that were kind of humanoid and intelligent as opposed to alien. So that's cool, too.
Didn't X-Files do an episode on that?
I'm sure they did everything as many years as they were on, but I don't remember this specific episode, but I bet they did.
I do remember watching, again, another Ancient Aliens episode. That particular incident that you're talking about was brought up, and the one in 87 that you're referencing was not the first time. Of course, this goes, you know, back about 100 years or so ago, where there's reports of somebody out in the woods, right, hunting or doing whatever, and ends up being accosted or sees or something, this lizard man.
Yeah.
Of course, this kind of feeds into a lot of that other cryptid mythology that you're talking about with, well, dinosaurs, right? We'll just go there. Loch Ness.
Yeah.
Okay. Not necessarily Loch Ness here in the States, but... Yeah, we could have that collapsed mine being the start of a staging area of these disgruntled ex-Confederate soldiers that originally are just trying to, I don't know, assassinate, you know, people that were instrumental in the U.S. government for the rebuilding of the South or the war or whatever, right? And they dig too deep. They collapse this mine. They're trying to get out, or... They collapse the mine because they find this cryo chamber. And then these lizard people help or are attempting to overthrow the human population. Yeah. So they're using these ex-Confederate soldiers in a malevolent and manipulative way.
Yeah.
Somehow they are telepathically linked, and that's where they enslave this savant.
Yeah.
In San Francisco, and over the course of, I don't know, untold millennia, right, they tunneled all throughout the United States, and that's how you can connect the lizard city in L.A., discovered in the 30s, to the Pennsylvania collapse mine of 1869.
That is impressive, and I want people to know that William and I do not rehearse these beforehand and then come back and redo them after we got our ideas. This is all actually happening. It's all his idea for this format, and I'm really shocked we've done two of these now, and they just worked like this.
Well, I like the brainstorming process of storytelling. Yeah. I think this is great, and I hope that somebody can actually take these ideas and run with them.
Yeah, because again, the articles, you know, I mean, William and I have combined them in an odd way, but I mean, those articles aren't ours. You know, we have no legal stake on those. You know, you can take these same ideas and
all
make
public
your
domain,
stories.
Folks. Yeah. Public domain. All right, folks. Well, you've got all sorts of ideas that you can run with from what we've gathered here. We really just kind of narrowed in a little bit on the H.P. Lovecraft sort of cosmic horror aspect to this.
And obviously the good guy, we didn't really create a hero character, but obviously he finds a way to stop Jesse James and the reptilians and stop the earthquake, and it doesn't happen. And the poor kidnapped psychic is freed, and, you know, it's a happy ending.
Of course, you could just be using this entirely as a prelude, right? For setting up some sort of, 500-600 years later story.
Yeah, that too.
Okay. And then, I don't know, turn this into a complete intergalactic conflict where this is just the starting stage of how the reptilians start taking over the galaxy.
Yeah.
And then you end up with some farm boy out on a twin sun remote region of the galaxy taking over. All right. Well, In any case, we are out of time for today. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of Plot Pit. We're here with John LeMay, author of 40 books.
Yep.
40 books.
Yeah,
that's impressive.
The two we pulled from today, if you're interested, is UFOs of the Turbulent 30s. That's got the Underground Lizard City. And then Real Cowboys and Aliens Lost Cases has the one with the chapter on Confederate Air Force.
And you can pick that up?
Just Amazon. Yeah, Amazon's got them all.
All right. And for the source material today, that was the Santa Fe Weekly Gazette, September 25th, 1869. It's a four-page old newspaper, all public domain. You can pick this up at chronolingamerica.gov. So I love that site. There's all sorts of old newspapers just going back to like the 1600s in some cases. It's literally having an archive at your fingertips.
Yeah.
Just take your imagination and run with it. All right. Well, until next time.